This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are about to talk some college football, some good college football talk with our good friend, Texan Sideline Reporter. You can catch him on Texans Radio as well. Johnny Harris joining us right now on the show. Johnny, where do you come out on cold cuts?
I love them.
You do?
Who doesn't love cold cuts?
Where are you going with this?
Well, we were there was an all due respect story that involved a deli, and we got talking about cold cuts and going to the deli at the supermarket. It's a little inefficient, but it tastes really good. But Rich was basically just giving the audience a PSA on why they should never eat cold cuts because they're terrible for you.
They're horrible for your health. Full of chemicals and preservatives.
Yeah, the last time I cared about that, Rich, was never. So I'll just keep eating my. It don't matter. You give me pastrami. You can make me a Reuben. You can throw me a club sandwich. It doesn't matter, man. You can make me a Monte Cristo. I don't care, man. You can put cold cuts on anything for me, and I'm happy.
Wow, Monte Cristo. That's when they're on the outside.
Right. Hey, wait a second, Monte Cristo, man. That'll change your life if you haven't had it. I've had different kinds of Monte Cristos. A little bit of the savory meats with a little bit of the powdered sugar and the strawberry jam, or maybe raspberry if that's the way you go. Look, Monte Cristo, it serves a lot of different purposes: breakfast, lunch, maybe dinner, a snack. I'm just saying, don't poo-poo the Monte Cristo, Rich.
Johnny, I feel like you would be a lot of fun to travel with on these road trips with the Texans in terms of going and finding food.
Oh, I would love it. I mean, I let Mark kind of handle all the food, and I just kind of follow around and let him pay for it, which is kind of nice. But, you know, this last week we went to Providence, and he found a sports bar, which is good. I'm glad we did, because we had a chance to watch some college games, two of them in particular that we got a chance to watch while we were there. But right around the corner, you got the best Italian food you're going to find anywhere at Wells Avenue, you know, Crime Town USA in Providence, and Mark picked the sports bar.
That's a fail. Sorry. Yeah. That's one of the best Italian food cities in the country.
Rich, you don't have to tell me. I went from 185 to 200 like in two semesters.
Well, Johnny, you had a chance to watch some college football, so let's start there. I'm guessing the Texas and Tulsa game was not on one of the TVs in that bar, but Texas is one of the teams that we've been talking most about since the season started, and they've got USC coming up this weekend. I want your thoughts on that game, but just in general, before you get to that, just what are you seeing right now when you watch this Texas team play?
It doesn't feel like, and I said after the Maryland game, it doesn't feel like they've got any sort of identity when I watch them offensively, because they'll go to the run. Like, I don't understand why they don't run Ingram 20 times. Like, I don't get that. I'd like to see Ingram a whole lot more, and I get he's a young guy, I get all that, but at some point you got to give the ball to your hosses, and it just feels like that they get away from that. And they've got, we got to make everybody else happy. I don't know. I feel like they've got a ton of talent offensively, physical talent. I'm not a big fan of Sam Ellinger. I'm not a huge fan of Shane Buechele. But those guys are enough to get it done because they've got other pieces. But to allow Tulsa to get back in the game, it just feels like there's a time at which Texas – I'm trying to find the right way of saying this. It kind of feels like, we got this one wrapped up. What's next? And they just kind of sleepwalk through the rest of a game or the third quarter or against Maryland. Hell, it was the first and fourth quarters that they were sort of sleepwalking through. So I don't know. Maybe there's not a sense of urgency. It's, you know, one of the things that we said about Tom Herman when he was at University of Houston, well, you put Oklahoma in their building and those guys are jacked up. They're doing the swag dance or whatever they're doing and they're ready to go. But you put USF in there that's not a great USF team, and they're just like, all right, let's get this over with, and then they'll get knocked off, or they'll get beat by UConn. But you put Florida State against them, boy, they're ready to go. So I don't know if that stems from the top. It just feels like they've got a lot more talent than they're playing at that particular level. Like, they have seemingly let's say, B-plus talent, but they're playing a C-minus or a C sort of game, if that makes sense.
I think you nailed it, John. For the generally speaking, they've been a terrible fourth quarter team under Tom Herman, and that's a problem. Let me ask you about Texas A&M, because on Saturday night, questionable call on a terrible rule, by the way, on that touchback. Yeah. They overcome it to score a touchdown, and they come within a two-point conversion of going to overtime against Clemson. What were your takeaways from an Aggie standpoint from that game?
Well, first of all, I have to apologize to the Vig where we were eating. And yeah, the place is called the Vig, Sean.
Oh, okay, so I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I about threw my fork at the television screen trying to watch the Texas A&M safeties make tackles. I was as furious as I've ever been. And I went on, and I go on Texas Ags Radio each week, and they asked me, you know, give me the good and the bad. And I said, look, I'm going to get to the good in a second, but I got to vent a little bit. I cannot stand to watch anybody, NFL, college, high school, tackle, especially in the secondary with this. I'm going to throw my shoulder in, and that'll knock him down. But really? T. Higgins is 6'4", 200 pounds. You think you're just going to knock him over the shoulder? I mean, there was such ridiculous tackling at such at some point. I mean, number four had to come out of the game. Derek Tucker had to come out of the game because the tackling was so poor. There were three or four big plays that you could pin solely on a guy not making a tackle. And I said to the people I was sitting with, Mark, he wasn't really paying attention to me. I just kind of talk. Sean knows this. I just kind of talk because I'm watching the game. Mike Elko called a great game. Mike Elko did a great job. But his players coming up to make routine open field tackles, albeit not easy, but something that at that level you have to do. They didn't do it. And that, to me, cost them the game. Offensively, Kellen Mond was superb. I mean, he was superb. The year one to year two jump that he has made, my goodness. And it's not as if A&M doesn't have talent. Like, we talked about that before the year. They've got talent. But my goodness, Kellen Mond was outstanding. Kendrick Rogers was great. I thought the whole entire offense, for the most part, played really well. I'd like to see Travion get involved. But, you know, Clemson was trying to take him away. But I thought the offensive line handled those four guys up front, relatively speaking. When you throw for 430 yards against that defensive front, you've done a pretty good job protecting him. So I think A&M's going to win a lot of ball games this year. I think what separates them from being 7-5, 8-4, and 9-3, and 10-2 is can they win one or two games against Auburn and Mississippi State on the road. That's going to be tough. But the way they played the other night, I think they could beat anybody they play on the schedule minus one team that they got to play in a couple weeks in Tuscaloosa. But I was really impressed with A&M. But I said if Jimbo Fisher does things right, he will walk in that room. He would have walked in that room on Sunday and just went up one side and down the other and make sure that they knew this wasn't acceptable. That was a win, and we blew it. I don't care who's on the other side. Moral victories don't exist. We've got to go win those games. I hope he just railed up one side and down the other to make that team understand how good it can be in 2018.
Johnny Harris joining us for his weekly visit here on Sports Radio 610. Johnny, what kind of chance do you give TCU against Ohio State up at Jerry World on Saturday night?
I'd give him a chance. I mean, Ohio State's offense seems to really be clicking. But, you know, and Haskins can do things. I mean, even when Tate Martell comes in, they can do things. And they've got the two-headed running back monster, which I think eventually will wear teams down in the end. But TCU with some athleticism can give Ohio State some trouble. Look, Ohio State's beaten who? Oregon State and Rutgers?
Yeah.
I mean, the three of us with eight other guys could play defense against them and hold them to 14. So it's not as if Ohio State did a whole heck of a lot, to be honest with you. And now they're going to get tested by a very athletic defense. I think what really will hurt TCU, though, is, and this will come into fruition for the first time, is Ross Blacklock in the middle. He was, I thought, one of the best, if not the best, Big 12 interior defensive linemen. And TCU lost him right near the end of training camp.
Yeah.
And that, I think, will eventually rear its ugly head this week against Ohio State. They really need a guy like that inside against this Ohio State run game. They will desperately miss him. But TCU with Turpin and Robinson, they've got a few athletes to make it interesting on Ohio State's defense for sure.
John, we don't talk about the SEC East very much, but I thought it was at least notable last week. You know, South Carolina goes to Georgia. It's their big chance, maybe their biggest game of the year in September, because a lot of people had them as the team that might make a run at Georgia in the SEC East, and they get smacked down by 27 points. As good as the SEC is, as much praise as we have for it as the best college football league in the country, and deservedly so, is it essentially a two-team conference with Georgia and Alabama?
I would say so, Rich. Yeah, that game against South Carolina, it felt like here was Georgia coming in, having played in the Rose Bowl and having played a national championship game, this is just another game on their schedule. Whereas for South Carolina, it was, oh my gosh, Georgia's coming. We've got to get up and amped and ready to play. And they were tight. And Georgia just went out and did its thing. And Georgia's really good. And I think you're right, Rich. I think it's Georgia and Alabama. The thing is, and this is the hard thing. When you start comparing conferences, like how good's the Pac-12, how good's the Big Ten, all that kind of stuff. Well, the SEC might arguably have the top two teams in the conference. But top to bottom, it's not what it has been, especially because the SEC East, as you mentioned, Rich, is awful. Florida losing to Kentucky? I mean, what? First of all, it finally happened. But how does that happen? I think Mississippi State's a good football team, and I think Auburn's a good football team. But I've seen similar versions of Auburn and Mississippi State in the past. What makes the SEC great is teams 5, 6, and 7. And look, A&M is almost there. I don't know if it's quite there, but it's almost there. But after that, you know, Ole Miss can't stop anybody, but they can score on everybody. LSU, I know everybody wants to say, well, LSU beat Miami. That was a garbage Miami team. I don't think LSU is going to be great this year. And LSU's usually in that mix. But SEC could have the top two teams in the country in Alabama and Georgia. So it really it's so out of balance in that conference this year. And it's weird. And the SEC East is just Georgia and a bunch of nobodies. And that, I think, is a shame for the entire conference that you've got one team that's just going to completely dominate everybody this year.
Johnny, what's going on Texans All Access tonight?
We got all kinds of stuff. We got Jim Wyatt from Titans.com. We got Russell Baxter. We got Brian Gain. We've got Andre Ware. So we got a bunch of stuff on the show tonight. Appreciate you guys, of course, as always. Appreciate everybody listening. So thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Johnny, making your appearance with us each week, man. It's always good college football talk with you, my friend. Have a good show tonight. And if we don't talk to you, safe travels to Nashville this weekend.
Absolutely, boys. Good talking to you again. See you,
all right. See you, Johnny. Go get some cold cuts. Go get yourself a Monte Cristo.
Yeah. Look, I never said I didn't think cold cuts were delicious.
Right. You're just...
obviously delicious.
Yeah, they're delicious, but you're speaking from experience that it's not the best thing for you.
They're delicious because all those chemicals essentially turn it into an addiction.
Yeah, the gabagool.
Gabagool.
All right.
No one listening knows what gabagool is.
Anybody who watched The Sopranos knows that gabagool is capicola, all right? And ricotta is ricotta cheese, and manicotti is manicotti.
It is.
Yep. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.